every island, they have his own language. Because when they colonized them 1,000 years ago, they take time to find another island close of where they were. It means they create a language, and they had a lot of time, and they found another and put people there, and the people create another. And it was a slow process. The interesting thing of Polynesia, when they found Samoa in 800 after Christ, they take no more than 400 years to found all the islands in Polynesia. It means they take a short time to found the places in Polynesia and a long time to found the places in Melanesia and Micronesia. That's why in Polynesia, the language is connected.
Welcome to Jump Podcast. I'm your host, Traveling Jackie, and I'm here to explore travel, adventure, and lifestyle in ways meant to motivate you to move and experience the world outside your comfort zone and to do big, courageous things with your one life. Let this show be a source of advice and inspiration, and remember that in the end, it's you who takes the leap. This episode is supported by Osprey, my go-to luggage brand for everything since 2015, and by Oboz Footwear, my feet's ride-or-die adventure shoe brand. So stay tuned for more from both of them. And of course, we're supported by Jump Adventures and our own collection of epic adventure itineraries to Patagonia and beyond. Let us send you on your dream adventure. You can find out more and browse trips at jumpadventures.com. Okay, I'm coming to you again from Chile and Patagonia, where I just got back from my first ever visit to Easter Island, Rapa Nui, to go see the mysterious moais, the giant rock-carved statues that the island is famous for. And in the last episode, in episode 195, we talked all about the moais and kind of the history of the island and a lot more about Easter Island, Rapa Nui, how it was found and all of that. You don't have to go back and listen to the first one if you haven't yet. However, I definitely recommend that you catch that episode, 195, as well as this one, because together they paint the complete picture of our Easter Island Rapa Nui experience that I'm about to bring you in on yet again. At the end of the last episode, I kind of left you hanging by saying that I saved my favorite part of this trip for this episode. And that, of course, is the people, which probably comes as no surprise because the best stories are always about the people from a trip. Our guide, his name is Tokerau. He was a little reserved at first until he got to know us, and he very, very much warmed up to us big time. And he shared so much about himself and his life and his family and the people and also the language of Rapa Nui and what he hopes tourists come away with when they visit his island. And of course, because he's a tour guide and because we were driving across the island during this conversation, he throws in a few other fun facts about the geology and the origin of the island that we sort of discover along the way. So that is what we are focusing on in this episode. And I must say, it is required to have a guide to visit 90% of Rapa Nui National Park. And I'm used to traveling with guides. I love it. Because a local guide is it's like your magic bridge to knowing the actual people of a place, any place. The people are nearly always the highlights of the takeaways of a trip. So if you're out there thinking, I don't travel with guides, I've never traveled with guides, or I don't want to have a guided trip, you're totally missing my point here. It's not about not doing what you want to do on a trip. It's not about that at all. You can still do that. It's your trip, right? You design it. You get to say what you want to do. It's about learning about the people of a place. Every guide comes with their own stories and perspectives and personalities and just brings you in to who the people of a place are. And more often than not, you find yourself at the end with a great new friend whom you trust deeply. And that just adds so much to an experience. It really makes a place come alive, in my opinion. And it comes alive with a name and a face and a friend and a story. So I highly encourage you to travel with guides wherever you go. Not to mention that specifically on Easter Island, you do need one. And I said this in the last episode, but I'm going to say it again here. We went with Eco Chile on this trip, and they were absolutely fabulous to work with. Full disclosure, they sponsored my trip there, and I am 100% confident in recommending them to you for Easter Island and beyond. They are a bespoke travel design company that works in all of Chile and Argentina and more destinations to come even. So they are offering 5% off to any of you who create a custom trip with them. Just be sure to tell them that Traveling Jackie sent you. You can find them at EcoChile. That's E-C-O. Chile is C-H-I-L-E. ecochile.travel. And I've put their contact info in the show notes for you. They are the ones who set us up with our amazing guide, Toquerao, who took such good care of us for the few days that we spent on Easter Island. And we get to learn more about him today. So strap in. We are driving across the island for much of this conversation. Actually, we had just stopped at a street stand where I bought the island's specialty banana cake and mango juice. So if you have any of that sitting around, bring it on over for the extra sense of taste for this audio tour that you're about to get. So they were delicious, and I was just eating them in the car as we went. Keep in mind, we are on a real tour here. So put your adventure earbuds on, and if you want to see what we saw on the island, hop on over to travelingjackie.com/watch, where you can see the video episode with sights from all over the island as we go. So I really hope that you enjoy getting to know the people of Rapa Nui.
We have a population of 12,000 people on the island. Who is a Rapa Nui person? It's a person to have a father or a mother, Rapa Nui, in sense of blood. It means a Chilean person is not considered a Rapa Nui and doesn't have the same rights than us.
Okay.
We're a small community. It means we say hi everywhere around because we know each other's.
What was the word for hello again?
Llorana.
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 Yeah. Most of the people, they live on the town here.
It's just one town on this island, right?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Have you lived here your whole life?
I born here, I raised here, and when I was a little, I went to live with my mother in Chile.
Mm-hmm.
I studied in the school. When I was a kid, a few years, always in summertime coming to visit my father here on the island. And then when I finished my university study in Valparaiso, I studied tourism.
Okay.
I come back here to work in tourism. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. My two brothers from my mother and father from here, my mother from Croatia and Spain. She don't speak Croatian. She never been in Croatia.
Yeah.
It's just we have the bloodline.
She grew up in Chile.
Yes.
Yeah.
In Chile. It's interesting because actually we have the name of Croatian family, but my family originally by blood, by name is Croatian. They were Croatians, but in sense of blood, they were from Italy, from Toscana.
Oh, wow.
Because one part of Italy, it was before to being of Croatian, it was Italy, and they moved from Italy to Croatian and they take the nationality. It means going more deeply, the name, they are Croatians, but the blood, it's Italian.
Italian
blood. Yeah. Okay. And yeah, my two brothers, the three of us, we live on the island. My little brother works in the national park like a ranger. And my big brother is journalist in the local channel. And I have a sister with 38 years old. She is from Australia, from a different mother.
Okay, half sister, yeah.
Half sister, yes. And she lives in Byron Bay.
Byron Bay, yeah.
Yes, in Byron Bay. And I have a half brother from Austria. He have 43. And he is in Vienna. He's from Vienna. Also from a different mother. My father, it was dancer.
Yeah.
He danced, you know, and tourists saw him. He had very smiling all the time, very charismatic. And yeah, he know a lot of tourists. And yeah, that's why I have a sister from Australia. And a brother from Austria. Yeah. Nice. And I have another brother from Chile, from a different father.
Okay. Oh, wow.
He have also 44. He works in drones. He fly drones. And he's very, very famous. He's one of the best companies in Chile of drones and South America. Actually, a few months ago one year ago in summertime, it was a film of Hollywood on the island filming one movie. It's called Wild Horse 9 with, how you call this? Mark Ruffalo, the Hulk in the, yeah, another famous actors. They were here. And this Hollywood company, they contract my brother to come here and film the movie by drones.
Wow.
And he was here. He were in my house. We were a very good time together. He did some films on the island with Access. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and when I'm going to dentist to Santiago, yeah, Providencia, he have a house and an office there. And I stay with him in the office of him.
Nice.
And yeah, six brothers in total. That's my family. Why I stopped here is just because I want to show you something interesting about the formation of the island. The island before, can you give me a map? The map of the, yeah. The island before, like I said, it was a formation of three volcanoes right, in total, okay? First one, 900,000 years ago, Poike, one island. All of this covered by the ocean.
Okay.
Just one small island here. 700,000 years ago, Ruanacao, another little island here, okay? 400,000 years ago, Terebaca, the highest point, the place where we were.
Yesterday, yep.
And this place connect these two places, these two little islands, and form 168 square kilometers in total. That's the whole space we have on land on the island. That will be like 7,000 hectares. You use acres, mm-hmm, right? 17,550 acres in total. The whole area,
wow,
of the island. It's not very, very big, like 38 kilometers from here to here.
From point to point.
From point to point. And like 18 from this side.
Across.
You know,
yeah,
you can drive around the whole island in a few hours.
Yeah.
3-2 hours, stop and go and relax. This area, the half, because the north coast is not access. But this one, you can do it in a few hours. Okay, three islands. First volcano, how long time ago?
900,000.
900,000. Second?
700,000.
And the last one?
400,000.
400,000.
We're passing your test.
Yeah, we have another student on the class.
Hello, Cal.
We want to participate. After these three big volcanoes, they formed the island. More than 60 secondary volcanoes, they started to form around the whole island. And that is all of these small hills, mm-hmm, we are looking around. You see one there, another one's there. Yesterday, where we were in Terebaca, mm-hmm, remember, it's like little mountains, yep, where we were walking or even in the town. All of that, secondary volcanoes, small ones. After the big one 400,000 years ago, all the small ones, they form around the island. More than 60. It means we have a lot of rocks, different colors, like we saw the red one. Today we will see the yellow one, basalt, another more hard to dig tools. It's like another kind of basalt rock we call ventricular basalt. Also, I will show you today coral from the ocean to put the ice.
Yeah.
Obsidian. Mm-hmm. Obsidian, the black rock, the glass volcanic stone, because it's very sharp. The thing is, the island under the ocean, on the island, in the base of the tectonic plaques, here on the island, we are below two tectonic plaques, okay? The Nazca and the tectonic plaque. These two tectonic plaques, they are not together like in South America. In South America, they are like this.
Like next to each other?
Yes. Yeah. And when they move, they create earthquakes. Mm-hmm. And that's why in Chile, you have a lot of earthquakes, because they move and Chile is like here.
Right above. Yeah.
Here, we never have earthquakes because it's impossible, because the tectonic plaques here, one is below the other.
Oh.
The continental tectonic plaque is below to the Nazca tectonic plaque. It means this one, it's below and it's always in a process of movement. It's always moving very slow. We don't see that. We don't feel that movement now. But in 1,000 years, or in geology sense, you can see that movement, how the tectonic plaque is moving. It means the base of the island, it's moving all the time. That's why actually in 1,000 or more than 2,000 years more, the island can collapse, because the base of the island...
Not scary at all.
Well, in 1,000 years, you will be not alive.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. In 100 will be a problem, but not in 1,000 or many years, long time more, can happen, because the base of the island, it's moving all the time by the tectonic plaques. It means... How we have more than 60 secondary volcanoes? It's too much hotspots of magma forming little volcanoes. The thing is, and the answer for that, is we don't have 60 hotspots of magma in the areas where we have the secondary volcanoes. It was just a few of them. They've started eruptions, but then with the tectonic plaques, they move around. And they form a small group of hotspots of magma, form different volcanoes, secondary volcanoes. It means how we can see that on geology sense here. That's why I stop here. For example, look at that little volcano over there. That was one hotspot of magma forming that little one. And then happened hundreds of years, and the same hotspot of magma moved by the tectonic plaques and formed this one. It was not too different. It was the same one by the movement of the tectonic plaques. And then 100 years more, 1,000 years more, and another one. And then 1,000 years more, and the other one. And here we have a line with six little volcanoes formed by just one hotspot. And if you see the island from the top, these 60 secondary volcanoes, some of them, they are in line, because it was just one hotspot forming, you know, many different little volcanoes. Okay, you got it?
Yeah, cool.
That's the
geology lesson.
Yeah, now is my geology time. I feel like many different
hats. You're wearing all the different hats.
Yeah. I need another cap to talk about geology, not the big one. And that's why the island is so interesting. It's not just because the history or the things happened with the humans, people, what they did here. Also, the nature, the geology formation is pretty interesting. It's very unique. The things doesn't happen in many islands of Polynesia. It means if this volcano started eruption, we don't have magma underground because it's moving. Where will be the eruptions? Kilometers far away in the ocean, because now the hotspots, they move long time ago. That's why we don't have earthquakes, because we don't have the tectonic plaques together. And also we don't have activity on the volcanoes. It's not earthquakes at all. Oof.
Interesting.
I drink too much mate this morning. I am like very energy. We have another student.
Hello, cow. Just wandering outside the fences.
It's interesting we don't have local milk or local cheese on the island.
Yeah.
We don't have that. No, we don't have someone to do a business with the...
Dairy cows.
It's just... Yeah, and they are cow milk. I mean, milk cows. They are...
Oh, they are?
They are. They are very good
to
produce milk. But we don't do that, because I think everyone, they prefer to work in tourism. It's much easier, fast money. You know, you can build houses and rent for tourists and make money, and you don't need to do nothing more. You know, it's like easier. You can do tours for your tourists, and you have more money from there, and you don't need to work for someone. If you create a business of that, it's more effort. You need to do more things. It's like more hard work. But probably in the future, exists someone will do it. Also, our land is protected. Like we were talking the other day, people here, they cannot buy land. That's why we don't have big chains of McDonald's, Dunkin' Donuts, Starbucks, or Kentucky Fried Chicken. And unfortunately, because I love Kentucky Fried Chicken, they cannot buy land here. That's why we don't have business of them.
And they can't rent either?
They can rent, but it's not a good business if we have a small population. They prefer to have a place in Chile, for example. It's full of people, that cities
yeah.
makes more economy. Here is another kind of tourists, people with more money. They are coming to see the nature of the island. They will not go yeah. to a McDonald's no. or something. Just yeah. locals we go for sure, because we don't right. have that thing.
Right. So you speak about, what are you pointing out?
Just the little volcanoes. Yeah. You see the lines and yeah. it's a nice view. That's the quarry, the farthest volcano
crater.
With the crater yeah. is the place where we carve all the statues for all the platforms around the whole island.
For all the moai. That's the ash rock.
The quarry. Ash rock, yes. Yeah, we okay. call it tough rock. Tough rock is a ash compact with 100 years of time and different eruptions make a compact uh-huh. and create a soft rock. That's why the Rapa Nui people, they chose that volcano to carve the moais because it was much softer than other volcanic rocks. Also, the Hats is another volcano style,
yeah.
but also soft and useful to carve.
Yeah.
1,050 moais in total. Just in the quarry, we found around 400 moais. In process to be finished, in transportation, still in the bedrock. It means the quarry is pretty amazing. You know, you can see all the generations, the different sizes, the biggest one, the small ones. We are going today there to visit them.
We'll come right back to that. But first, let's thank the brands that support our show. Once upon a time in 2015, I set out with my trusty Osprey Fairview 55 travel pack and did not come back for, about 3 years. That entire time, I traveled the world nomadically with my Fairview 55. It was the first Osprey pack I fell in love with, and the Farpoint Fairview line has only gotten better over the years. And Osprey has just come out with a brand new updated version of the Farpoint and Fairview travel packs in 40 liter, 55, and 70, and they are exclusively available now at osprey.com and at REI. My two favorite features of the Farpoint Fairview travel packs are that they open like a suitcase, so much room for activities and packing cubes, and that they have detachable day packs built into the 55 and 70. These packs all include Blue Sign approved 100% recycled materials and will hold up beautifully for weeks or, if you're like me, months and months of travel. And if you need more space, they pair gloriously with the Transporter Wheeled Duffel, which is my go-to for absolutely everything now. Can't stop, won't stop. I love it. Find the new Farpoint and Fairview travel packs, plus all the travel packing accessories you need, plus the beautiful Transporter Wheeled Duffels, and join me in my adventure packing bliss at osprey.com. Hiking and hitting the trails is a year-round adventure opportunity, even in the snow. It just means you need the right gear, and no one knows this better than Oboz Footwear, because they hail from the often cold and snowy mountains of Bozeman, Montana. I once took a pair of waterproof insulated Oboz boots on a winter trip to Canada where I went snowmobiling, dog sledding, ice fishing, ski hawking, that's a special thing in Quebec, snowshoeing, and fat tire biking, and I did it all in my one pair of Oboz adventure boots. It was the easiest shoe packing solution I've ever experienced on a trip, and my feet were warm and dry and so comfortable the entire time. I want this kind of winter adventure success for you and your feet too. So check out Oboz Footwear's full line of insulated, rugged hikers and winter boots that will keep your feet happy from town to trail. Oh, and remember that every pair of footwear you get from Oboz helps plant trees. Learn more at obozfootwear.com/lovehiking. And thank you, wherever you are, for listening to the show and supporting these brands that help make it possible.
So you talk about Chile as separate.
Okay.
And I would like you to talk about that. Like, how does it, you identify as Rapa Nui.
Yes.
Do you at all identify as Chilean?
In the generation of my father, when Chile take this place, like territory land, it was in 1888. Okay. And when they take this territory, the Rapa Nui people, we don't give them a paper or a access to do it. It's just because they take it. Because in his constitution, if you are in a place where you don't have people there, and you are a Chilean person, you can go there and take that place. And when they came here, they saw the Rapa Nui people, and they were indigenous. They don't know to read or write in paper, and they don't consider it the Rapa Nui people like humans. It was like animals or things. That's why, according to the constitution, they reclaimed this place like territory land. Also in that,
reclaimed it, yeah.
Like Chilean territory land. And also at that time, we were suffering by a lot of problems. The tuberculosis, the leprosy, the population, it was very low. In 1896, we were 111 group of people, because before, slaves companies from Peru and other places, they came here and they take indigenous, Rapa Nui indigenous, to work in other places. Like in Peru, they take 1,500 people. In total, this company from Peru, they take 5,000 people from all Polynesia. But from here, they take 1,500. Between 1859 until 1862. It means the population of the island with disease, it was getting low, but also with the slaves companies they came later, they were much lower. It means when Chile came here, the Rapa Nui, it was just a portion, like a
small number of people,
a very, very small one. It means they don't have the army to reclaim it to Chile. Hey, you cannot take our land, because no, they were dying.
Yeah.
They were suffering. We were 111 Rapa Nui people in the whole world in 1896. And Chile take the island in 1888. Close of the time where we were very bad.
Yeah.
It means Chile take this place like land. Don't consider the Rapa Nui people like humans. They take the island for three specific reasons. The people here, they were very strong, good slaves, good people to work in other things. The area, it was full of grass, good for farming, or rent the island for farm companies from other parts of the world. And the location of the island in geography sense is a very interesting place in case of war, you know, or you can park your planes or your ships on the middle of nowhere, you know, and that's a very strategic point in military sense. Chile don't take this place in 1888 because they like tourism.
Right.
Because they know will be a touristic publicity for the world if Rapa Nui is part of Chile. That is now. And they sell, you know, the island, like Chile have Rapa Nui, Chile have Easter Island, but they don't talk about when they rent the island and they use us like slaves, or they take us and they don't consider a people with rights. Mm-hmm. It means what happened with Chile. It's not just that. In 1905, Chile rent the island for one slave company from Scotland. It's called Williamson Balfour. They had ships. Remember the ships, the white animal, these small ones?
The sheep.
The sheep. Because I know the boat is one word.
Ship.
Yeah, it's the same.
Sheep, ship.
Okay. Okay, okay. Yeah, yeah,
it's
sure,
hard.
Sure,
right.
Sure.
It's
okay.
Hard.
The thing is, they were here, Chile rent the island for them for almost 60 years. And they said, okay, just go there. The people here, you can use it like whatever you want. They were a slave company. Use the land for your animals. Can eat the grass. We have a lot of grass. They don't ask for the Rapa Nui people if they can rent the island. Mm-hmm. And for 50 years here, the people, they were working like slaves in a sense. Until 1960. It's not a long time ago. Mm-hmm. My father born in 1960. It's just one generation ago. All the things change. Before it's very recently all the things it's happened on the island about to the history. The thing is, in between 1908 until 1912, the Rapa Nui people, they did a revolution and they protest for the Chilean government exist many important Rapa Nui people. They did a protest, like Alberto Rapu, he did a protest, and he was a lawyer. He studied law in Chile. The revolution of Agatha. Mm-hmm. She moves the Rapa Nui people to protest for his rights. And when the Chilean government take, they realize the thing it was happening here, they give us rights. But before of 1905, in the island, the people on the island here, they were not considered humans.
Yeah.
It means we were Chilean people after 1915. Hmm. You know, after mm-hmm. that time, we were now considered in 1960, specifically, we were like humans with rights. We were part of the Chilean constitution. We were considered Chilean. It means when you tell me, hey, you are Chileans, you are part of Chile. If you don't know all this history, it's like, yeah, in my ID card said I'm a Chilean person. But in sense of history, it's very different. On that sense, that's why we don't feel Chileans 100%, because also these histories and this part of the history you don't mention, or people don't know about that.
Right.
Okay. For another hand, now in the actuality, we have a lot of Rapa Nui people. They had relation with Chilean women, or women from the island had relations with Chilean men. Because we are part of Chile, we are considered Chilean. It was inevitable to have contact. And a lot of Rapa Nui people like me, we born with these two nationalities. It's the same one, but Rapa Nui and Chilean. And we have a lot of people on the island. They are half Chilean, half Rapa Nui. On that sense, on sense of a father or a mother. We have the teachers, the lawyers, the nurse, the doctors. They come from Chile. We don't have universities here. It means the principal language is speak on the street or around the island. It's not the Rapa Nui. It's the Chilean language. The teachers from Chile, they teach in Spanish. They don't know Rapa Nui language. Mm-hmm. It means we are accept, if we want or not, the Chilean people coming to the island, and now we are part of Chile. It means now in the actuality, I think we can consider a little bit more part of Chile, not because we want 100%, but it's that was the history point, you know.
Yeah.
You ask me a very deep answer.
I want.
I'm a man. I cannot do two things at the same time. That's why I stop the car and try to give you all the ideas and then go to the places. That's, but yeah,
I appreciate it.
It's okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
It means, yeah, I mean, my mother is from Chile. Chi, 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 le, 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 viva Chile. But I cannot forget, you know, the hard part of my blood, the strongest part of my blood is come from this culture, and I love my culture, and, this is my paradise, and I, you know, I love my home.
Yeah.
But for another hand, yeah, I'm also Chilean, and I cannot negar.
Deny
the Chilean part of my identity.
Yeah, sure. I wanted to ask you about the language.
Okay.
About the Rapa Nui language.
Okay.
Because I've noticed, I mean, I feel like this is kind of obvious, but it's very similar across Polynesia, no?
Yes.
And it even is similar to the Maori language in New Zealand.
Yes.
So where does it come from? Like what, and is it actually that similar, or is it really unique? Is it different?
Well, in ancient times, long, long time ago, we have our own script. We call the Rongorongo script. Is the...
Like an alphabet?
It's 69 tablets.
Oh.
Carving of wood, carving with different patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Follow same drawings in some places. Remember where we were in Tahai and I showed these tablets with different drawings?
Yeah.
That's our old script. And that's the script we had before on the island. But like I said before, we don't have the meaning yet to know exactly what is the translation of that. Not like we don't have a rose stone like Egypt's, where they translate the petroglyphs of them with Latin and stuff like that. And our language, the Polynesian language, is connected in all Polynesia. The oceanic continent, it's divided in three areas. Melanesia means black islands because the people from there, it was colonized close of Africa and that people over there, and they are, have a very dark skin. You know, we are brown, but they are really dark. You know, that's why they call Melanesia black islands. Micronesia means small islands. It's a place of the oceanic continent with very little islands around, Micronesia. And we are here in Polynesia. Polynesia means many islands. And the triangle of Polynesia, it's connected by three places specifically. Hawaii, New Zealand, and Easter Island.
Oh.
These three islands, they conform the Polynesian area. And inside of this triangle, we have many islands. That's why it's called Polynesia.
Interesting.
French Polynesia, Marquesas, Bora Bora, Tuvalu, and many others. The interesting thing, talking about the language, like we were talking yesterday, the first people came from Taiwan 5,000 years ago in the year 3000 before Christ. From where they come from?
From Taiwanese people?
From the place where is Taiwan now, from Asia. Yes, from there they started to navigate and found our colonized islands around the continent. The interesting thing, to found Melanesia and Micronesia, they take more than 1,000 years just to found Melanesia and Micronesia. They take a lot of time sailing to found all the places in Melanesia and Micronesia. That's why in these parts of the oceanic continent, they speak more than 100 different type of language. It's like every island, they have his own language. And have made sense because when they colonized them long time ago, 1,000 years ago, they take time to find another island close of where they were. It means they create a language and they had a lot of time and they found another and put people there and the people create another. And it was a slow process of colonization. But the interesting thing of Polynesia, when they found Samoa in 800 after Christ, they take no more than 400 years to found all the islands in Polynesia. It means they take a short time to found the places in Polynesia and a long time to found the places in Melanesia and Micronesia. That's why in Polynesia, the language is connected.
Okay.
Because how they found the places, it was much faster and they don't have time or elements to create more language. It was not necessary. That's why if a Rapa Nui person talk with someone from Hawaii or a Maori from New Zealand, it understands 60 or 70%. We have similar words. Like, for example, how we say house or how we say boat. We say vaca here, vaca, V-A-K-A. But in Tahiti, they say va'a.
Oh, super close.
It's not with the K, it's with an apostrophe and a separation,
okay.
But va'a, vaca.
Yeah.
You know, Moana, the name of the blue ocean, in some places means Moana, means ocean. Here is blue, but it's the same word. We have a lot of similar words. You know, in here to say house, we say hare, H-A-I-R-E, hare.
H-A-R-E.
But hare. In New Zealand, they say fare.
Fare.
With F. In French Polynesia, they put some other pronunciation because they are colonized by French. It means the same language is muted according to the places and the colonization we had in French Polynesia, in other places here We have also a mix, but the base of the language is quite of the same one.
Yeah.
That's why we can understand each other's and have a connection.
Mm-hmm.
But it's for the migration. That's why the DNA help us to prove we come from Taiwan, but also the language prove us the same theory. We come from there. If we come from other places, how the language is connected in Polynesia and in Melanesia and Micronesia is not. It's because we come from that area. It means this theory, how we found, how the islands was founded and where we come from, have two strong arguments. The DNA is enough, but also the language and the culture, it's the same. And they are all also two important arguments to prove where we are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
You got it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at the hilly view of the...
All those volcanoes.
And this is the oldest one.
This one?
This is the oldest one. And in front of us, we have the quarry. You see the quarry on the...
So what does Rapa Nui mean?
Big island.
Big island?
Big island. But originally...
Oh, Nui is big.
Yes. Yes.
And... Rapa is island.
It's like a place. Also, Rapa means a paddle. Remember the Polynesian paddle sport we were talking before?
Yes.
Where they make with this canoe and...
Yep.
Yeah, we call hoe. Rapa also means like this paddle they used to navigate before. But in sense of island, can be Rapa Nui, big island, because where our ancestors come from, they come from Hiva. And they don't consider this island like big. It means when they saw the island, they said, oh, this is a big island, Rapa Nui. Actually, in Polynesian islands, you have a place is called Rapa Iti. Means
Iti.
A small island, but it's the same. And some people say we come from also from there, Rapa Nui and Rapa Iti.
Will you also explain your name?
Yes.
Again? Yeah,
again?
You told us. Well, yeah, I didn't have that recorded at
first. Oh, that's true. At the beginning.
So
I don't remember.
So what is
I need a cake to remember that.
Do you want a bite of this delicious banana cake from the market?
You need to help me, remember?
It's so good.
I'm trying to be like this. You can tell me no, Tobilao. That's not. Yes.
What is your name?
My name is Tokerau. Tokerau in Rapa Nui language, like a concept, means wind. But some of the legends and the oral tradition mention Tokerau, the wind, like a word with two meanings. Toke is the thief. Toke, toke. It's the thief, a thiefer, someone to steal something.
Mm-hmm.
A thief. Thief.
Thief. You said it right.
Okay.
Thief. Perfect. Yeah.
Okay. And Dao, Parau, or Dao is the leaf of the tree. Or specifically, this kind of word is the meaning of one leaf of sweet potato is not more on the island. The Rau, okay? But Tokerau, the thief of leaf, because long time ago when our ancestors, they saw how the wind moved the leaf of the tree, they don't have a name to put a word for the wind, you know, the wind, you don't see the wind.
Mm-hmm.
You just see the wind moving things.
Stealing the leaves off the trees?
It means it's a poetic meaning.
Mm-hmm.
To get out the thief of leaf or the guy to steal the leaf of the tree, because that's the way how they associate, how the wind works around them. It means to understand the Rapa Nui language, you need to live here or understand the lifestyle of the Polynesian people. Because the language is created according to the places where we are, like in other places. Exist also indigenous language in other places. They create things around,
connected with
things they had around.
Mm-hmm.
On his cosmovision or his way to saw the cosmos.
That's cool. So you grew up here. This is your culture. This is your place.
Yeah.
And all of these people from all over the world come and visit and see all of this. And you're a tour guide. You share it with everybody. What is it that you want them to know or appreciate about your home? To have them understand about where you come from?
Mm. think the respect would be like, they come from knowledge, that's for sure. It's a famous thing. We are famous in the world for the statues. But for me, the most important thing the tourists need to know, it's the respect for the place. It's how they ask things. It's how they want to know the things. Why they want to know? Because they are interesting, or just they want to make jokes, or they want to do some funny things. You know, for us, it's something really serious, like it's our identity.
Mm-hmm.
It means whatever they want to know, I will be happy to share, but with respect, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, we are an important place around the world. It means for me, I'm happy to give for tourists the information they want to know. Sometimes people, they are in holidays and just they want to be relaxed and don't hear about geology or numbers, you know, or other kind of information. They just want to have fun, have a good time, and enjoy the moment where they are. I think I like to give the information for tourists, the tourists they want to know. I don't push them to give them specific information. If they ask me about geology, I will talk about geology. If they ask me about legends, I will talk about legends. If I can see they are interesting on specific kind of rocks, I will talk about that. For me, it's important to read the tourist and know what he want to know about the island. Mm-hmm. Also, everything with respect, and then give them the things they want to know. That's why I think it's important, like a tour guide, know about everything on the island, to have options to share for tourists about what the things they want to know. They come here, most of the people, they come here to know about knowledge. It means I'm a kind of a knowledge guide, like I want to share information with them.
Mm-hmm.
That was my answer in my work sense, because I'm working in tourism, you know?
Yeah.
That is how works my mind when I see tourists, like what they want to know. Also, I studied tourism.
Yeah, right.
It means for me, it's important to read what is the person wants to know or want to do,
mm-hmm.
and give them that, you know. But visiting the island, it's the culture. I think many places in the world, they have heritage. They have monuments, megalithic rocks or constructions. They are famous and tourists visit that places for that reason. But I think one of the most important, in my opinion, it's our culture on the island is still alive. We are still speaking the Rapa Nui language. We are still dancing the dancing of Rapa Nui language. We are still passing the oral tradition by songs for the new generations. Yeah, the culture is still alive. I think other places in the world, they don't have that. Like, they don't speak language. They don't feel like from the places where they are, or they don't have a strong identity like us. I think that's an important thing. And that's for me, it's important to transmit to the tourists.
Yeah.
Our culture is still alive.
Very much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we walked in from the airport and we were greeted with music and the people sitting like, there.
Also, you know, in Hawaii and that places, the culture changed because they, big industries of hotels, they are there. They can buy land in that area. They can put the stores everywhere. I think if we don't have that, the law to protect our land, our culture will be not alive like now. I think the law protect us and protect the land and give us some isolation to preserve more culture things. In Hawaii, my brother tell me, like, everything is an industry. The indigenous, you don't see them. The service of Hawaiian, it's from people from US or other places. It's like everything is commercial. In Egypt, I never been in Egypt, but some friends told me, like, you go there and you know, gives you $10 and you can touch the pyramids. Like, they sell the culture, like, if they will not feel it's of them. And I think that's the good things we have, the protection. Mm-hmm. The protection of the place, the protection of the heritage, the protection of our culture. And I think that's something very unique we have now. It's not around the world, or it's in not many places. Other places they have, but I don't travel much, like, to know more places. But I know, I don't know, like, other places they have protection and they try to protect his indigenous people and things like that. And we do that, not because Chile help us, for sure not. Completely opposite. If Chile wants, they will take all this area and put things here and sell things and, you know, Chilean stuff. But it's because we fight for that, because we have good law to protect us and we can work with that. Now, in the politic things on the island, Chile wanna do things here. They wanna take the national park again. They wanna build a big harbor, you know, to bring more ships to Chile. It's always Chile pushing to go in. And it's a fight of the Rapa Nui trying to say, no, we are doing well. I hope so in the future we still keep on that way like we are now and not see McDonald's, you know, or things like that. Okay, time to eat.
Yes. And let's eat ceviche.
And talk stupid things like jokes and things like that.
Okay, sounds good.
That does it for our Easter Island Rapa Nui coverage for now. I really hope that you enjoyed this style of show. I would love to know what you think. Please feel free to leave a comment on Spotify or shoot me a message on Instagram @travelingjackie or via my website, travelingjackie.com. And make sure that you also catch episode 195, which is all about the famous moais of the island. That's a lot more from Tokerau in that episode. And speaking of, I want to give a big shout out to my new friend, Tokerau. Maybe when you go to Rapa Nui, you will be so lucky to have him as your guide as well. If you do, say hi to him from Jackie and Shannon. And also, be sure to tell Eco Chile that you're interested in Tokerau's astro tours. He's going to be launching night tours to learn about the stars and navigation and constellations. And now that I know him, I know that that's going to be a fabulous tour when he starts them up. So shout out to Tokerau. He really is great. And again, check out ecochili.travel. Their contact info is in the show notes. You can get 5% off any custom trip you do with them to Easter Island, Patagonia, Atacama, Wine Country, the salt flats of Bolivia. Just giving you some ideas and beyond. Just tell them that Traveling Jackie sent you and you'll get that 5% off. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really hope that you learned something today. I hope that you enjoyed joining us in the car across the island of Easter Island, Rapa Nui. So I'm signing out from Chile. I will catch you next time. Thanks.